Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah begins our new Christmas series titled, The Gift. This series is based out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and begins with a message titled, Wonderful Counselor. Now here's Pastor Ray.
I want you to imagine, if you would, that you were suddenly magically just lifted and transported to an uncharted jungle. Imagine yourself, you are in an uncharted jungle, and you're given a choice of three tools, a guide, a map, or a compass. You're in a jungle. It's an uncharted jungle. You got three tools. You can choose one, a guide, a map, or a compass. What would you choose? I want you to turn to the person next to you and share why your answer would be the best. What would you choose? All right. Calm down. You don't have to get aggressive right now. How many of you would choose a personal guide? A personal guide. Yeah, you're a wise congregation. I don't know that every church is this way, but you're very wise. That's what I would choose, a personal guide. I found that out the hard way on many occasions. I really need, more than a map, more than a compass, I need a personal guide. I remember years ago when we lived in Denver, our kids were fairly small, Lynn and I decided to drive from Denver down to Dallas-Fort Worth to spend Thanksgiving with her family. And while we were there, we decided then to go on down to College Station, Bryan, Texas, to be with some friends. And so we got in the car and we began to drive and we headed in. And so College Station is southeast of Fort Worth. And so we began to drive southwestward toward Waco. And then we were going to swing on down south. But unfortunately, Texas does this wonderful thing for its travelers. They put about 50 signs for every road. There's state highways, there's county roads, there's interstates, there's this and there's that. And so when we hit Waco, I hit a belt line that took us around Waco. And instead of going south, I was going west. And I traveled west. We traveled west. This was about a 5-hour drive to get to College Station. We traveled west the wrong way for about two and a half hours. And I didn't realize it until I suddenly noticed that in my front window, it was getting later in the afternoon, that the sun was setting. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, the sun should be over here, not over here. And it hit me, we're going the wrong way. Of course, Linda didn't criticize me for getting lost and not asking directions. But we had to backtrack 2 hours. So we were off course 2 hours, had to backtrack 2 hours, and a 5-hour trip turned into be about a 9 or 10 hour trip. Listen, I had a map. It didn't do me any good because I thought I was following the map. I thought I was going the right way. We even had a compass in the car. I didn't bother to look at it until it was too late. What I needed was a personal guide. Other than Linda, I needed a personal guide. She tries, but I have deaf ears sometimes. I needed somebody who had been there and done that already. You ever wish you had your own personal guide for life? A veteran coach to call the play so that you could run up the score in your world, or a skilled advisor to whisper wisdom to you as you're facing challenging decisions in your life. Now, I think more than ever before, people are looking for guidance in these chaotic times. You think about the last 20, 25 years in our society. Think about since 9/11. Our stability, our security has been rocked by radical terrorism. We've been shaken by economic instability. We've seen cultural chaos and the loss of morality that's kind of upset our apple cart. Even recent times, a lot of people are really shaken by the racial tension that we're seeing in city after city. I mean, people are scared. They're confused. They're looking for wisdom from anywhere, from someone, from any place. Give us wisdom on how to do life successfully. You know, there are more people today in our society in therapy than ever before. More people are medicated for emotional challenges and disorders than ever before. But with all of this help, psychologically and medically, we don't seem to be better off emotionally. Life coaches are now a dime a dozen. Did you know that there are even ministry coaches to help pastors to figure out how to pastor? These ministry coaches are typically pastors who got tired of their congregation, so they're telling us how to love ours. It's amazing. Psychic hotlines, psychic networks. Did you know for $3.99 a minute you can have your own certified psychic? I mean, come on, certify? Who certifies psychics? Is there like a certification board for psychics or something? I mean, I think they're all certifiable, actually. No matter what folks do to answer their questions and to dull their fears, they just can't erase their worries and their anxieties and their fears about the uncertainty of the future. You know, the prophet Isaiah lived in eerily similar times as ours. In Israel, military might was expanding, the economy was growing, culture was advancing, progressing. But on the horizon, there were enemies to peace and stability that bred fear and anxiety in the people of Israel. And on the surface, though things looked very, very bright, Isaiah described it as a time of darkness, that they were actually living in the shadow of death. Not a good time in Israel. And yet out of that darkness, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of a Messiah who would be the light. He would be the answer. He would be God's gift for all that's wrong with this dark world. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, "People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned." And then in verse 6, he makes this amazing promise that Linda read in the prayer a moment ago. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Wouldn't you love it if the government were on Jesus' shoulders? "He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness." Oh, hallelujah. "From that time on and forever." God Almighty himself is determined to do all of this. This is God's will. It will happen. Now, I want you to focus on verse 6. Because between now and Christmas, we're going to look at those four names that Isaiah prophetically gave to Jesus. Names that are going to remind you and me that in these uncertain times, how Jesus is God's gift to answer your toughest questions, to allay your darkest fears, to meet your deepest needs, and to fulfill your greatest desires. Jesus is the answer. He is our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. So let's look at the first name. He is our Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. Now, how many times, like me, have you heard that without ever really personally thinking about what it means for you? You know, we just go over these verses because they're so familiar to us and they sound so beautiful. But have you ever thought about what it means on a personal basis that Jesus is your Wonderful Counselor? Well, I want to explore that today. Let's approach it this way. And sometimes we need to find professional counsel. And so if you were looking for an effective counselor, you would expect certain qualities, right? If you were looking for a professional counselor, you would hope that they had certain qualifications. So what about Jesus? What qualifies Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor? Well, to begin with, Jesus listens empathically. What qualifies him? He's a good listener. Jesus listens empathically. That means that he listens carefully and he cares deeply. Some people listen carefully without caring deeply. Some people care deeply, but they don't listen carefully. Jesus does both. He listens carefully and he cares deeply about what you are going through. Have you ever gone to someone for emotional support who has no clue what you're going through? You ever had that experience in life? You know, our girls, when they reach teenage years, started to get interested in boys. And they had boyfriends. They would go on dates, and they would have questions about boys. Why do boys do this? Why do they act this way? In fact, one of our daughters is still unmarried, and she still calls, and they don't even talk to me anymore about this. I know that they're going to talk about a boy when the phone call goes like this. "Hi, Dad. Hey, is Mom there?" I care deeply, but I don't listen carefully. And sometimes I want to say, he's a loser, just get over it, move on. You ever been to somebody for emotional support and they just don't have that capacity? I'm thankful for Linda. I really am. I don't know what they'd do without her. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 describes Jesus this way. It says, listen to this, our high priest understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same temptations that we do, yet he didn't sin. So therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and his grace to help us when we need it. He's a wonderful counselor. There's a Christian writer, amazing Christian writer, who was a pastor by the name of Joseph Bailey. He wrote several books, and he talks in these books about how he and his wife, over the course of several years, lost three of their children to death. And in one of these books, called The Last Thing We Talked About, he spoke of losing one of his sons, and this is what he wrote. He says, I was sitting there, I was torn by grief, and someone came and they talked with me. They talked with me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly of things that I already knew were true. I was unmoved, except to wish he would just go away. Finally, he did. And then another came, and he sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask questions. He just sat with me for an hour or more. He listened when I said something. He answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. You know, someone has said, and they are absolutely true, absolutely right, that they ignore scars who never felt a wound. They ignore scars who never felt a wound. Jesus' scars proves that he identifies with your pain, which is why you could be confident that he listens carefully and he cares deeply for what you care about. And if you will turn to him, or turn to him again, you will experience Jesus as the God of all comfort. He understands. He knows because he's been there and he's done that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all of your cares upon him. Because why? He cares for you. He cares for you. Isaiah 49, 13 says, shout for joy. Why? For he comforts his people and he has compassion on their affliction. Psalm 22, verse 5 says, he hears our cries and he saves us so we can trust in him and not be disappointed. You know, this morning, some of you need to be reminded of that. Some of you need to hear these words. The load that you brought in this morning, you need to know that Jesus cares deeply for you and he listens carefully. He sees, he knows, and he listens to the pain that you're going through. You need to be comforted by that. But more than just listening empathically, Jesus also speaks truthfully. A counselor, a good counselor, will listen, but they will speak truth. You know, sometimes people don't speak the truth that we need to hear. Sometimes, you know, people that we think care about us, I'm sure they do, but they pull their punches. They don't want to speak truth that we need to hear. And sometimes people speak truth so bluntly that it causes more damage than it does to provide direction. I've talked to people that have told me about what they've said to other people speaking the truth, and it was just done so ungraciously, so harshly. It was true, but it just was not couched in love, and people can't receive that. Listen, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's why we can handle Jesus' truth, because we know how much he cares for us. We know his empathy. That's the very essence of his nature. John chapter 1 describes Jesus as being full of grace, that is empathy. He's full of grace and truth. He's the perfect blend of truth and grace. And it's this grace-truth combination that we need to guide us in life. That's what we need from our counselor, from our wonderful counselor, and that's what he brings. Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 26 that's what the Holy Spirit will do for us. He will send us, he will give us the Holy Spirit. He says, I will send the counselor, Not only is Jesus a wonderful counselor, but so is the Holy Spirit that he sends to live within us. He is the counselor, the spirit of what? Of truth. He will guide you. He's from the Father, and he will testify to you about me. In John 16:13 says, he will guide you into all truth. Well, listen, the world says that you cannot know truth. That's what the world says. Our culture says that these days. There is no truth. You know, whose truth is it? How can we know truth? What's true for you may not be true for me. That's the world's take on truth. But that's why there's so much fear. That's why there's so much anger. That's why there's the hostility. That's why there's insecurity and anxiety, because there's no foundation of truth. But Jesus is truth. He said, I'm the truth, the light, the way. Jesus is truth. And by the Spirit, he speaks truth, and he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you truthfully with truth if you will seek it, if you will listen to it, if you will obey it. He's the truth giver, and he will give you truth. He will give truth to guide you if you will seek it, listen to it, and obey it. Now, how does Jesus do that? Let's try to get practical about this. Well, I mean, primarily, that truth comes from his word. And if you're not in his word, I've said this before, if you're not in his word on a consistent basis, absorbing his truth, you're going to be lost. You're not going to hear truth. It comes from his word. It comes from witnesses to his word. In other words, the people in your life that he's brought into you that have a level of spiritual depth, and they are accountability partners, or you allow them to hold you accountable. So it's through the word, it's through witnesses, it's through promptings, inner promptings. The Holy Spirit is within us, and he's speaking to us all the time. If we will listen, if we will learn to discern his voice, the Spirit himself collaboration with the word, in collaboration with the church, the body of Christ, will prompt us to follow truth. And it comes from your pastors, frankly, from promptings and from pastors. Every time I or somebody else stands in this pulpit to deliver God's word, truth is being delivered. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to be interested in what we say. It may be that we don't do a great job of speaking at times, but if it is still God's mechanism for speaking truth into your life. This wonderful counselor will listen to you empathically, and he will speak to you truthfully in these ways. And then, so he listens empathically, he speaks truthfully, and Jesus empowers generously. I love what Psalm 25:9 says. He guides the humble in what's right, and he teaches them his way. Isaiah 41:10 adds this: don't be afraid or discouraged, for I am with you. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So what are those verses saying? Saying what I've already said, that Jesus personally guides us. He guides the humble. Jesus practically shows us the way. It says he teaches us his way, and Jesus powerfully equips us. He strengthens, he helps, he upholds us in his victory. That's what Jesus does. You know, some counselors that you might go to may be good at just feeling your pain. You know, there's some politicians that will tell you, I feel your pain. And maybe they really do. Some counselors will do that. They're good at that. Others may be quite accurate. They might be articulate in telling you the straight up about your life. I have a friend who's a counselor who will speak truth to you. Unadulterated truth. If you need someone just to get up in your grill and tell you truth, I will recommend a counselor to you. I don't know if he'll feel your pain. He might deliver some pain, but he speaks truth. He's really good about that. I admire him. But I want someone as a counselor who will actually equip me and empower me to live in victory. I don't want them just to feel my pain. I don't want them just to tell me what's wrong. I want to be equipped to move on in life and to live in victory, don't you? That's what this wonderful counselor, Jesus, will do for us. He will empower us generously. And if you look at the people who follow Jesus, both in Scripture and throughout Christian history, that's what you'll see. That he made a practical difference in their lives. When people follow Jesus and they listened to his truth and they understood that and they trusted his empathy, it radically transformed their lives. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you. He really does. He will change your life radically. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I think back to many, many years ago now that when Linda and I were first starting in ministry, we had a small group. And she invited a coworker into our small group. Her name was Kathy. And Kathy came that first night. I didn't know her. Linda did, but she came into our small group, and she was depressed. Oh, she was dark. She was addicted to medications, prescriptions. She was infected with a sexually transmitted disease. She was in bad shape. And I remember the first night she came to the group. She was dark. She was withdrawn. She set off in a corner behind the rest of the group. She sat in a corner. Remember that, Linda? She was just, she was messed up. She didn't interact with anyone. I remember just being kind of disconcerted about this. But at the end of that small group, that night, Kathy gave her heart to Jesus Christ. It's amazing. What's even more amazing is the next day, her coworkers saw a dramatic difference. That week, her therapist saw a dramatic difference when she went for a visit. That week, her who was treating her STD found that there was a dramatic difference. No longer was she depressed. No longer did she need medication. No longer did she have an STD. And they all asked separately, all of these different people asked Kathy, what had changed? And she said, there's a new man in my life. Jesus has changed me. Today, Kathy's in ministry. She's a pastor's wife. She's proof positive that the wonderful counselor, Jesus, isn't just empathetic. He is all of that. He doesn't just speak truth. He does that. But he is a generously empowering counselor who still works miracles in those who will trust his counsel. That's a good place for an amen. He still works miracles in those who will trust and obey his counsel. Jesus is the answer to all of your challenges, all of your concerns, all of your confusion, all of your chaos. He's exactly what you need. He's a wonderful counselor. So, what do you need from Jesus today? What do you need from the wonderful counselor today? His empathy, to know that he cares? The clarity of his truth? Do you need that? Do you need the power to actually change your life? The gift is Jesus. Jesus is God's gift to you. To begin with, he is a wonderful counselor. So, how do you tap into this reservoir of comfort and truth and power? It's very simple. And God's word is very clear. This is not rocket science. To begin with, you ask for it boldly. You ask for it boldly. You know, maybe you've not gotten Christ's wise counsel for the simple reason you've not asked for it. You have not because you ask not. So ask. You say, well, I've already asked. Well, ask again. I haven't asked for a while. Well, ask again. I tried that. Ask again. Need I remind you of the parable that Jesus told of the persistent widow who kept what? Knocking. And he said, keep knocking and asking and seeking. Can I remind you of the parable? I think it's Luke 18 where Jesus talks about this persistent person. And he says, and he told them this parable. He says, Luke, the writer says, Jesus told this parable to teach people that they should pray and not give up. And then he says at the end of that parable, but will the Son of Man find that kind of persistent faith on the earth when I come? It starts with just asking and asking boldly. And then look for it expectantly. Look for it expectantly. Jeremiah chapter 29, 12 through 14. Jeremiah says, when you pray, God says through Jeremiah's words, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. He's the Lord that wants to be found. He's making himself available. So seek for it. Look for it expectantly. And the fact is, when you seek for it expectantly, you may realize that it's already there. What you're looking for maybe was there already, and you just didn't see it. I had that experience this week. I was wondering why the Lord had not helped me in something I've been praying about. This last year, I told the Lord, I had announced to several people, my prayer partners, to pray with me. I said, God, I want to plant 100 churches in Africa by September, by October. And it just seemed like it was such a struggle, and I didn't come to you for help for that because we're in our Unleashed campaign, and so I was hoping that other people would catch the vision for this from other churches and other sources, and it just didn't seem like it was happening. And I kind of came out of, we had a wonderful trip to Africa to do the church planting and the medical clinics and all of that, and you know, just really uplifting, and I see our goals being advanced, but I just was down about, man, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Last Monday, Linda said, Ray, do you realize that in Ethiopia this fall we launched how many? 75 new church plants. And in South Sudan we launched 40 church plants. What is 75 and 40? It hit me. Oh my goodness, I was looking for this parting of the Red Sea miracle when God had provided the miracle of daily bread all along, and I just hadn't seen it. If you will look for it, you will find it. He will be found by you. So look for him again. If you quit looking, look for him again. And then finally, trust him completely. Trust him completely. God wants you to be very careful, friends, about placing your trust in everything and everyone else but him. He wants you to be careful about that because we tend to do that. And maybe you're looking for wisdom and guidance from any number of different sources. Maybe you're looking for guidance and wisdom and truth from Fox News or Glenn Beck or Dr. Phil or Dr. Seuss. As wise as they may be, especially Dr. Seuss, there's still only one wonderful counselor. There's still just one wonderful counselor, and he wants us to come to him first, not last. Matthew 11:28, this wonderful counselor says, I love this from the Message, if you're tired out, worn out, burn out, are you tired out, worn out, burn out? Just come to me and I will show you the unforced rhythms of my grace and you will recover your life. Sounds good. So put your trust in Jesus. He is a wonderful counselor. Put your trust in him. He's a wonderful counselor. I read a story some time ago about this pioneer in the old days who was traveling west. And the place where he came to the Mississippi River, there was no bridge. Night was falling, it was winter, and the surface of the river was covered with ice, and he needed to cross it. He needed to get to the other side. But would the ice bear his weight? Would it bear his weight? He had to get there, but would it bear its weight? His weight. Yesterday, by the way, I was out. You know, I just had my gutters cleaned, and then we had that crazy windstorm, and they were refilled. I had someone else clean my gutters because I'm smart. But I thought, wow, they just were clean, and now they're plugged up again. And so I borrowed my neighbor's extension ladder, and I got up there on the low parts, and I unplugged it. And then there was this really, really high part, and I stretched that extension ladder all the way up to where the two weren't even together anymore. And I got halfway up, and it was shaking, and it was wobbling, and I went, will this bear my weight? And wisdom prevailed, and I climbed on back down. I'll pay somebody else $1 million to do it. I'm not going up there. This guy was wondering, will the ice bear my weight? And so he began to carefully inch his way across on hands and knees. He thought, if I just distribute my weight the right way, it might keep the ice from breaking. Well, about halfway over the river, he heard a noise. It was singing. And it was behind him, and as he kind of turned to look, a wagon load of coal driven, pulled by horses, rushed by, and this guy was singing as he went. Here this guy was on his hands and knees, fearing the ice would break beneath his weight. And there this guy went with horses and a fully loaded wagon of coal held up by the same ice. Listen, you may be timidly creeping along on God's promises as if you're not sure that he can bear the weight of today's need and tomorrow's concern. Maybe you're not sure. Psalm 32, verse 8. He says directly to you, listen to this, I love it. I will instruct you, I will guide you along the best path for your life, and I will watch over your progress. I'll watch over your journey. I'm a wonderful counselor, he says. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He has promised to be your wonderful counselor, and my encouragement to you is just to accept that gift with gratitude.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.